This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And as we were coming on to the show about 30 seconds ago, we started complaining about how rough our life mm-hmm. has been. And we both kind of realized these are first world problems.
Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. When you think the coffee maker is set, and you'll blame yourself for it the first night, but the second night in a row that you go down there and the pot's empty and it's still full of water, it's like, all right, son of a gun. Something's got to change here.
And it changes your attitude the whole day.
I was in a great mood until that.
I was in a great mood.
Yep. Like, this would be great. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to take the dog for a walk. I'll shoot the breeze with Dan.
Yep.
Nope, out of coffee. Son of a gun.
Yep, exactly. And that's hilarious because I was doing the same thing where it's like, this sink's full of dishes and I got to do, I got to do these things and clean this and fix this today because I'm trying to get out this afternoon and go shed hunting with my son and his best friend. But, nice. It's like, this damn coffee pot. And then in the background, the news is like, a school was bombed in Iran on accident this year. And you're like, my life ain't so bad right now. Right.
Yeah.
My neighborhood's not getting bombed right now. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, definitely. Definitely a good perspective enhancer, I think.
But exactly.
I'll be darned if it doesn't get on your nerves just a little bit, though.
A little bit. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I got something that got on my nerves earlier this morning, and it's still an issue, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think this is the perfect place to start our conversation today is, dude, I'm really regular with my bowel movements, and dude, it's like clockwork. I'll sit down, I'll wake up, coffee's made, couple cups of coffee, make kids breakfast. While they're eating breakfast, I almost always, it's timed up perfectly. I go to the bathroom, I go number two, and then I go take a shower, and it's just like perfect timing. Today, I don't know what you call them. I call them a half poop. Have you ever had a half poop? And it just like, I know there's more in there to come out.
Yep.
But now I have an issue because it's going to, I don't know when, because I got a 3 or 4 hour drive today.
Mm-hmm.
Is the other half of that poop going to come out in that drive? Is it going to want to come out during this recording? I don't know. So the whole day is a guessing game at this point because I didn't take my normal full poop.
Yep. Dude, I hear you 1,000%. Mm-hmm. You ever have it where you end up just missing the first one altogether?
Oh, yes.
And then you're off for like a week.
You're off.
After that? Yeah.
Yep.
Nightmare fuel. It's terrible.
Yep. Yep. Another problem that we're facing here. A major problem.
Bombs of our own, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And dude, I have had days where like I don't get to ease into my morning. Like I wake up and I go. And that's mm-hmm. honestly, almost moving into the hunting conversation. That's why I don't drink caffeine in the mornings. I wait and have my coffee for the second half of the day when that's I'm smart. Usually running and gunning into the tree because the worst possible thing is getting the gurgles. It's like the little, it's time to poop.
Yep.
And you're in a tree stand and it's like the perfect time. Deer are in front of you moving. And although I will do a sky dump, I will not like, I don't know, man. Nobody wants to do a sky dump.
Yeah. It's
Yeah. Nobody wants to, especially if you're in
saddle. You do it for the story. Yeah, exactly.
I would love to. I wonder if dudes do sky dump out of a saddle.
A buddy of mine
has
confirmed. Yes.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
How does he do it?
I think he just undoes like the straps that go around your legs, and then he kind of just hikes the whole thing up around his lower back, so it's kind of like a back sling a little bit, and then drops trowel from there. Okay. I had an idea for a while there, like, you know those old timey like onesie pajamas with the little button flap
on the back.
Like, dude, if they did that with the saddle, it'd be game over.
Game over. People would just be dumping from trees all over North America. There'd be public land just littered with human dumps all over.
You ever wonder how many piles of human poop are actually out on public land?
Yeah. I've never wondered that before.
No.
Until you said it just now. That's not something I think about, Pierce.
Well, I only say that because there was one time, this is a couple years ago, I think it was like my first year hunting public land.
Yeah.
Ran into this guy in the lot. He told me where he was going to go. It was where I was going to go. So I'm like, son of a gun. Well, I'm going to try and hop into the next bowl over on this ridge system, and I should be in good shape there. I get set up. It's like half hour before first light or so, I hear branches snapping, tree stands and climbing sticks clanking together and whatnot. All this stuff going up until like first light. Mm-hmm. Then it goes quiet for about 20 minutes. And then I hear more rustling around, more clanking, more other stuff. And it goes quiet. So I'm like, huh, maybe the guy just like the wind was doing something weird. He's going to take off, relocate, whatever. I hear some footsteps a little while later. Grab my bow. I'm sitting there. I'm excited, thinking like, okay, like if anything's going to come through here, like this is the spot. At least I'll have that confirmation there. And I see movement. It's not a deer. I can't tell what it is. And then I see this guy pop out kind of into this little, almost like a little staging area on this point. And he's got his stand and his sticks and everything on his pack. He sets him down, drops his saddle, and I'm like, or his harness or whatever. And I'm looking at this guy kind of like, what is he doing?
He doesn't know you're there,
then
does he?
He has no clue. No freaking clue. Ah,
yes.
And
yes.
I'm like, finally, I'm like, start whistling at him. I'm like, hey, hey, buddy, no, don't do it. Like,
not here.
And he kind of like looks around, pretends like he wasn't about to just take a dump there, and looks around like kind of like I'm the one with the problem. And he's like, oh, it gives me a wave and just keeps on walking. I was like, all right.
Yep. A long time ago, when I was turkey hunting a piece of public in northern Iowa, I had to go. So I found a little bush or like a down log to kind of lean against. And I'm in the middle of it, and two dudes pop over a hill, and it wasn't like a long ways away. It was really, really close. And it was so close that we made eye contact, and I was like, I'm kind of busy here. And they're like, oh, sorry, dude. And then turned around and walked away. And so they saw my bare ass and probably a little bit more, to be honest with you. So the joys of Mother Nature and digestive systems.
Hey, so just touching grass, baby.
Exactly.
That's it.
Dude, I'll tell you this, man. One time I pulled into a public piece here to turkey hunt with my buddy close to home. And my buddy goes, what's this? And I look at it and I'm just like, holy cow. It was a Pringles can. Dude, it was a Pringle can-sized human turd. And I'm like, who makes that? Like, who literally makes that? And it was a wad of toilet paper right next to it in the actual parking lot of the little piece of public.
Oh, no.
And I'm just like, dude, I'm not joking you. Imagine a Pringles can. That's how big it was. And he goes, that's not a human. I go, dude, that's a human. There's no other animal. That's not cow poop, right? That's not horse poop. Like, there's no bears in this part of the state. That's a human turd. And he's like, dude, no way, dude. That's impossible. There's no way a human will dump that big. And I start thinking of some of the largest humans that I've ever heard of, like Shaq. I don't know. Like, I don't know what we're getting weird here. We're getting weird here right away. But like, I don't know how much, how big of turds Shaq has.
Is it?
But
I'm
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Like if you're a larger human, you probably eat more on average. Therefore, all of your extremities are bigger and your digestive tract is bigger. It carries more processed food and then it has to get rid of it at some point. And so I'm guessing it's all bigger. So
that I don't know, dude. To me, I mean, yeah. I like played football power with a guy who was 6'7", 365, something like that. Yeah. Just a unit. His dad was huge. Like his brother was huge. All of them at their house, they all had gigantic toilets. Mm-hmm. Like, which I guess makes sense because like
they were bigger than a normal toilet.
Yes. Like they were like an XL toilet, which I don't know if they were custom, but I didn't know these XL toilets existed, but they were like taller and longer. And yeah, they had.
Dude, so when you went, did you have to put your hands on the seat so you didn't fall in the hole?
No, dude, but I was on my tiptoes for sure. Like, you know, when you can't get flat foot. Yeah. And then you're, it was.
That's hilarious. Oh God. Well, that's a great intro to this podcast. Love it. Dude, I don't care who you are, how old you are, and how much, like, how mature you are. I shared a story like that. I'll tell you a story. I think I've told it before on the podcast, but a good story is a good story, no matter who you are. And what you like, if it's not too vulgar and too violent, it's a good story. And so, I've been doing this Bible study with my, I guess now my preacher, right? I've shared that information, but like, I have a wild past and every once in a while, my wild past will come up in a story. And so I shared this, there's another college kid. So it's me, my preacher, and this other college kid who is, I believe he's in a fraternity. And so that came up and I believe it came up and there was like a story of just like wild past. And I said, I'll share one of my wild stories with you. It's fun. No one got hurt. You know, it's harmless kind of joke. And so when I was in college, it was my senior year. I was helping this apartment full of girls move from one apartment to another apartment. And we were carrying boxes out of their apartment to put it in the back of a truck. And there was a box of all these different cassette tapes. And I'm just flipping through them kind of see what kind of music this chick was listening to. And there was this white cassette tape and it said, Rabbit Distress Call. And I was like, what is this? And she's like, oh, my dad hunts coyotes. And he puts that in a tape and turns the volume up real loud and the coyotes come into it. And I'm like, can I have this? And she's like, yeah, take it. He doesn't do it anymore. And, you know, it's in the box. I never use it. You can have it. So I put it in my back pocket and forgot about it. Summer is officially here. And you know what that means? Long late nights by the grill, weekends at the lake, and hitting the golf course with your buddies. And nothing elevates those perfect summer moments quite like a premium cigar. Whether you're pairing a rich Murado with a cold bourbon after a backyard barbecue or enjoying a smooth smoke on the porch at sunset, Thompson Cigar has you covered. They've been America's humidor since 1915, offering the absolute best selection and prices. Because they have one of the largest humidors in the country, your cigars are guaranteed fresh and delivered straight to your door. If you want to try something new, check out their unique 5-pack fever deals or their value clubs for unbeatable savings and expert curation. Use my code NFC at checkout for up to 20% off your orders of $75 or more. Or visit thompsoncigar.com/NFC and the discount will be automatically applied. Some exclusions may apply. So the rest of the Saturday kind of plays out and I'm that kind of guy who, you know, it's Saturday, might as well start drinking real early and going to the bars and having a good time. And then my buddy is like, dude, let's go back to my place. there's a frat house right next to my place and they're having a party tonight. Let's go into it. Like, they're so big. No one knows who we are. We just kind of help ourselves squeak our way in, even though we're not invited. And the whole time I had this rabbit distress call in my back pocket. And we get into the party, the music's bumping, there's chicks everywhere, you know, it's like, oh my God, this party's awesome. And I look at their stereo, I'm just standing in the corner and I'm looking at their stereo system. The stereo system is in a closet and they have the speakers pulled out into different parts. So the music's bumping and I'm looking and it's not the type of speaker that you can clip in and out the cords in. Like, yep. They're built into it. This is so bad. I went into the closet crazy, you know, like on some of these houses, these old houses, in order to get multiple levels and multiple, like they have to do weird construction to these bigger, older homes to make them multiple apartments.
Yep.
So I go in, I kind of walk backwards into the stereo room. I slowly shut the door to the stereo room, to the closet, and it has a lock from the inside of the closet. I lock it. I open the window. I put in the cassette tape of the rabbit distress call. I shut it and I turn the volume all the way up. I jump out the window.
Oh my God.
And I come back in and I'm just watching people's minds get blown here. Like, what's going on? And it's just over and over and over to the point where, like, 10 minutes of this go by and guys can't get in. They don't know where the key is.
Yep.
To this room. They can't get into it. They're like, what the hell's going on? It, like, the party is emptying. People aren't having fun anymore.
Yep.
And like, the cops are showing up saying stuff like, dude, we heard, we got reports of like a woman screaming here. What's going on? And I'm like, they're doing it in there. I don't know what's going on in there, but something fishy's going on, officer. Just like totally ruining this party that they had. And I think in order to shut, they forgot about having to go through the window to get in and shut it off. But I think one guy like just yanked the cord out of the speaker at least one of them. And so I didn't, that was a little wild time back in the day. And so that's
like you said,
though,
nobody got hurt. That's hilarious. That's a great prank.
Yeah. Nobody got hurt, dude. Nobody got hurt.
That's awesome.
I think I told that story before. I'm almost positive. I probably did it last week and my mind's so shot, I don't even know.
That's hysterical. Yep. Dude, those old college houses were the best, man, with like those weird nooks and crannies, and like the basement was always like unfinished and looked like it was out of like Five Nights at Freddy's or Friday
exactly.
the 13th. And yeah, it was just
exactly.
Like,
and there's always a bedroom down there. And the guy who lives down there somehow pulls chicks down into there. Like, I wonder what some of these girls were thinking when they're going home with a guy into one of those houses and they have to go down like unfinished basement steps and then turn a corner into a room that doesn't have a door, but like a bed sheet over top of it. And then there's like a bedroom in there, but on the floor is a drain instead
one
of
naked light
like
ball.
Carpet. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, what is going to happen to me right now? Oh God. That's hilarious.
That is, man. I feel like it's not uncommon for guys to want to just do something for the story after a while. Like, you get a crazy idea in your mind. You're like, you know what? Let's just do it to say we did it, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
I feel like women don't have that circuit in their brain where it's just like, I'm just going to do it because I can.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, but it's different.
Yeah.
Like, you're familiar with Galena, Illinois, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like this chocolate shop, antique shop, small little wineries, like fun for women, like in their 40s, probably to go to. And they probably look at each other and they're like, I got a crazy idea. Nancy, let's go to Galena for the weekend. Oh my God, we shouldn't. We shouldn't do that. Let's do it anyway. Oh, let's get crazy. And then me and you, if we got together, there'd probably be a three-wheeler and it'd be like, I wonder if we could jump the road in this. You know what I mean? That's the difference between the stories. Like if we jump the road, that's a badass story. And I'm willing to break a bone to accomplish that story. And I think that right there is the difference between men and women.
Yeah, definitely. Nobody's breaking a shoulder or a collarbone on the way to Galena.
Exactly. Exactly. They may stub their toe after one too many sweet wines, but that's about it.
Yeah, break a heel. That's all right.
Break a heel. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude. That's the difference right there.
Yep.
The also, there's another difference, and that's talking about poop for 15 minutes with someone you kind of know.
No kidding.
Right? Right? That's also the difference. If my wife was sitting next to me right now and I was like, well, how was your bowel movement this morning? She would have been like, I don't want to talk about this right here, right now, so everybody in North America can listen to it. So I wonder how many people are still listening to this podcast now. I should title this podcast like Big Buck, like hunting bucks in the rut, like the best possible tips.
Do this now for success.
Sure. Yeah, October. Early season success starts now. Yep. Yep. But
just
I get
talking
messages.
About fertilizing our own food plots. That's all.
All we're talking about is helping public land get healthier.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. In a way, that guy's a public land warrior too. And he just knew in the back of his mind, he's like, I'm not going to make it home, but this one lot is on my way home. I'm going to zip off in there. And I bet he thinks fondly every time he goes back there.
Yeah. And let's be completely honest. This is how this works. Fertilizer equals more growth, more vegetation, right? We can agree on that. Mm-hmm. If it's newer growth, that means lower stem count for deer to eat, which means better deer hunting. So he could have marked that on Onyx where he left it. And then in 5 years, he could have came back and hunted that. And then he shot a big buck off of the bush that grew next to that fertilized, you know, that fertilized soil.
Dude. Yep. Full circle.
We should write a book about this. Do you think it would sell? Probably not.
I mean, I think if we went along the lines of like a title for this episode, like DIY public land food
dumping.
Dump it.
I would love
big buck success.
Right. The 5 year plan, right? And so dude, imagine a rule. You're like, you know how right now they're like, oh, cell cams are unfair. No cell cams on public land. And then there would like somehow someone finds out that all these hunters are dumping in public land, waiting a couple years, bushes grow up and they're using that as an actual strategy. And then a law comes in because it's not fair to people who don't dump on public land. And they're like, no dumping on public land anymore. No pooping on public land. You got to get back to your house to dump or a gas station.
All hell would break loose.
Oh, dude.
The amount of poop that would just be there in spite of that law, I think, like the parking lots would just be like a pigsty of just like human feces littered throughout the entire spot. Like, people, I feel like that's where society might draw the line and they'd start really pushing back, I think.
Yeah. And then you got someone like backcountry hunters and anglers. They're just like, they're trying to take away your freedoms. Right. Yep. This is your public land. This is your public land. You should be able to take a dump on public land if you want. If you want.
Fire up the printing press. We're going to get the public land poopers t-shirts out there now.
Public land pooper. Yeah. Dude, there's thousands of people who are doing this.
Dude,
and,
for
you know, there's also, I bet you there's a very good amount of hikers and backpackers and backcountry campers that, I mean, they have to do it as well.
Yeah. Right? Dude, so do you remember during COVID, Meat Eater had like a big push urging people to bury their poop? Because during COVID, like in the state parks and the national parks and all that sort of stuff, there were all these backpackers and hikers and anglers and hunters and who name it. They were all just pooping on the side of the trail, or they would just leave it, or they'd barely bury it and then they'd find it somewhere else, or somebody else would. It was like the whole like bury your own poop, like carry a little trowel with you.
Do you do a heel kick to divot it out and try to make it into there, or do you just drop it?
Dude, contrary to this entire conversation, I'll be damned if I'll poop in the woods, dude. I've done it a handful of times. I just don't do it, man. I will shut my brain off. I will block that part of my nervous system until I get home.
Really?
I except for there's one emergency where I was scouting this one creek. And I had this like 17-inch brown that was like in the bottom of this pool. And I was basically standing over top of him. Like I like snuck in there all ninja-like. And I was kind of just like high-sticking, like jigging this little leech pattern in front of his face. And he took like three big swipes at it. And I could feel like that gurgle coming. Oh, and I was probably, I don't know, a quarter mile from the car. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll be fine. It's no big deal. I'm always fine. It's not going to be an issue. And he swiped on it one last time, and then he kind of laid down. I was like, this sucks, whatever. Like, you know what? That last gurgle was kind of aggressive. Maybe I'll go back. And I'll go back, and when I went back to the truck, got in there, drove 15 minutes into town. I get there. There's one bathroom in this little dinky, you know, small town gas station, and somebody's in there.
Oh, boy.
And at this point, my brain was like, hey, you made it to the bathroom.
Oh, it's time to go.
Buckle up, buddy. Here we go. Yeah. And so I'm standing out there like a little kid, like almost like legs crossed, like fidgeting, like walking in circles.
Yeah.
Like, please, for the love of God, get out of the bathroom crying out loud. And luckily they did. But it was like 10 minutes, dude.
Yeah.
So that's like the closest I've gotten. Aside from that, like if I'm camping, obviously I will. But in that case, I did heel kick it.
You heel kicked it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's mighty respectful of you to heel kick it.
Yeah.
I've had those scenarios too, where I've made it to a Casey's here in Iowa, you know, last minute deal. Like I just barely made it there. Maybe because I didn't have toilet paper in the truck. I also didn't want to rip a sleeve off of a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you name it. I made it there. The men's bathroom is closed. So what did I do? I went into the woman's. And there's nothing more awkward than going into a woman's bathroom, knowing that you did what you did in there, and then opening it up, and there's another woman waiting in line for the woman's bathroom. And she looks at you like, what's going on? And then you just, my only response is I didn't have enough time. I'm sorry. Like, time was not on my side, lady, and I apologize if I ruined your day. But you know, I had to do it. Is it against the law to use a women's bathroom? Like not, I'm not talking about all what I identify as.
Mm-hmm.
Is there can you or can you not go number two, or I mean, just go to the bathroom in a designated woman's bathroom?
I don't know. Honestly,
there's a law.
I feel like they're.
Dude, let's just look it up. That way, we're not speculating.
Internet. Right.
I am a man. Can I use a woman's bathroom? I'll just put in Iowa. Let's see if that gives me another answer. I'm a man. Can I use a woman's bathroom in Iowa? Okay, here we go. Under Iowa law, specifically following changes in effects in 2025, access to sex-segregated spaces like restrooms in public is generally based on biological sex at birth rather than gender identity. A person born male, therefore, would generally be expected to use the men's bathroom. Okay, and then it gets into all this stuff we don't want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
dude, this gets real serious real quick, and I don't know if I want to take it serious. They're saying that basically if they have both, you should try your hardest. But my bowel, my digestive system at that point didn't care. Like, I guess if there was a law and I was going to go to jail, that lady decided to press charges against me, I would have probably, there's a chance I might have had to go spend the night in jail. I don't know. But I wasn't, I guess it was worth it for me.
Dude, there's got to be a clause in there that, like, if one is out of order, it's fair game for, you know, just a free for all for the other one.
And I feel like, imagine me getting in trouble and then me going to politicians and trying to make amendments to this law and just be like, you know, like they have those sob stories, like in 2024, Dan Johnson had to go. And he risked his own life, you know, holding it in and causing serious bowel problems. And it's like a commercial on TV. Vote yes for I Gotta Go, the I Gotta Go amendment in House File 4471 or whatever the case is.
There's a bunch of like interviews where the person's all like backlit and blacked out and like their voice is all like, I had to go in 2023.
Right.
And I was arrested. Like,
do you remember the like political, like during a political season, all of the bad guys? Like if someone's like, they're all smiling and then it's like, Pierce Nellis thinks you should hold it. And it's black and white and you have like this really distorted mean face.
Yep.
Doesn't think you should use a woman's bathroom if you have to go number two and you should hold it as long as you possibly can. Meanwhile, Dan Johnson says, if you gotta go, you gotta go. And that's why I support Dan Johnson.
Right? I think regardless, that's a commercial that just needs to be made.
It just needs to be made. Yeah.
Like make people wonder, like, is this a real issue?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
This you is know, a real I issue. Like that, Dan Johnson. Dude, because that's how you, that is a new, just like guerrilla marketing strategy for the Sportsman's Empire right there.
Right.
Everyone's going to Google Dan Johnson. Huh. What do we do there? I got a poop.
It's like CEO of sport, you know, like host of the Nine Finger Chronicle, CEO of the Sportsman's Empire, advocate for pooping in women's restrooms if you really have to go. I should change the description or the description or summary of myself on Instagram.
Yeah, dude. After the bio. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Dude, let me ask you this question. Is there a way of even pivoting from this into deer hunting talk at this point?
Man, I was thinking that. And honestly, at this point, I'd given up. And I was if we get there, we get there. But I like that I was going to,
I wonder what my partners think. Like, I wonder what the people who listen to this podcast, because I know there's a couple partners of the podcast, I'm not going to say who they are, who listen to this and they're like, they've literally, I haven't done my commercials yet for the podcast and now I have to, right? Before the rest of the show's over or we go into something different. Mm-hmm. But like, so now after all that, I have to say something like, if you're looking for one of the most badass broadheads on the market, you got to check out Wasp Archery. Like how
you need like a dude wipe sponsorship for next
exactly.
year.
Exactly. That would be badass. That would I use dude wipes all the time when I go out west.
Yeah, dude, they're slick.
Yeah. Okay. So I do have to do my commercials now. So hard pivot into commercials. So I really do appreciate the following partners for sticking with me, I guess, all these years, no matter the topic that I cover. I mean, we talked about public land hunting already this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And it's relatable content,
We talked about big buck strategy. We talked about big food plots. We talked about fertilizer. Like,
terrain features. You talked about terrain features. Yep. Yep. Right? So
saddle equipment. Come on.
Exactly. Hunting gear and equipment. Love it. All right. So, but in all honesty, if you are looking to change up your broadhead for this next year, I strongly suggest looking at Wasp Archery. They have a complete lineup of fixed blades and mechanical blades. So go check out wasparchery.com. discount code NFC20. Next on the list is Vortex Optics. They know all about me over at Vortex, so I don't think I'm too worried about.
I was going to say that's a relatable crowd.
Very relatable crowd. I love those guys. And so VortexOptics.com. It's almost turkey season, and if you don't have a red dot on your shotgun, I strongly suggest going and getting a Vortex red dot. They have a variety you can choose from different reticles and different price points. So go check out VortexOptics.com. Take a look at their full lineup of red dots, of rifle scopes, binoculars, rangefinders, you name it, they have it. Next on the list is Code Blue Sense. This weekend, I'm actually going and freshening up my mock scrapes. As soon as I get off the next podcast that we have after this, I'm packing up my truck. I'm going to pick my boy up from school and his best friend, and we are heading out for the entire weekend, and we're going to look for sheds. I'm going to move some tree stands. I'm going to do some other like habitat type stuff on that farm, change some batteries, and get the farm hopefully set up. And one of the things that I'm going to do is freshen up my mock scrapes. I use the Rope-A-Dope mock scrape kit from Code Blue Sense. They have real and synthetic deer urines. They have scent elimination products. And I really like using their stuff. So go check out CodeBlueSense.com, discount code NFC20. And then last but not least, I have to freshen up my batteries in my Reveal trail cameras. Those guys are doing some pretty amazing things with their technology, not just the cell camera part of it, but their platform and all the additional features that they've recently added. So if you haven't updated your Reveal app yet, do that. There's a lot of cool things that they've upgraded along with the new Ultra and all of its functionality. So go check out tacticam.com/cameras and check out their lineup. Last but not least, we have Full Sneak Gear. If you like t-shirts with deer on it, I guess that's what it would be. I don't have any fancy marketing for it. There is
or turkeys.
My son, you know what his favorite t-shirt to wear to school is? Is the broadside double lung shirt. And it is a picture of a buck mule kicking after he's been double lunged, right? And then it says broadside double lung. He wears that to school. And it is a buck that has literally been shot with an arrow. And I wonder what people's reactions are, if they even notice what it actually says or not. So I don't know. That's pretty cool that my son likes wearing my swag.
That's badass.
Yeah.
Do you think the other kids, or like even teachers, like, do you think they're paying attention to that as much? Or do you think they're just like, yeah, whatever? I'm sure like the teachers that hunt are like, hell yeah. And the other ones are like
maybe
oblivious.
So I know the principal, her husband is a hardcore bow hunter. And the only reason I know that is because I had to have a meeting about my son with the principal a while ago because of his behavior. And so I was wearing a deer hunting shirt. This was a couple years ago. And she's like, I think my husband listens to your podcast. And I'm like, oh, really? Is he bow hunt? And she's like, yeah. And, you know, like the typical wife eye roll, hardcore bow hunter. And it's not that she said, it was her reaction that led me to go like, because she's like, yes, he's very adamant about bow. He loves bow hunting. So, yes. So that's.
I love it.
Yeah. I love it.
What'd your son get sent to the office for?
Well, I believe there was a scenario a couple years ago where he had a bully issue. Mm. And I think we brought it up and then nothing really happened. And then one day the kid tackled him and my son was wearing a hooded sweatshirt and the kid was sitting on top of him, pulling on his hood and choking him. And then I think my son retaliated. And then he was the one who got caught doing it. And then it was either that one or, dude, you want to hear something crazy? So there was two boys and they were fake humping each other at school. All right. Fake humping and fake kissing each. Yeah. Kissing each other. And my daughter was standing next to another girl who said, "That's gay." Okay. What's wrong with that? That's not hate speech, but all three girls, the girl who said it, and then the other two girls that were standing next to him got expelled from school or suspended.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Still
not expelled, suspended for multiple days. And I kind of had a problem with that. And this was all kind of going on at the same time. And I was like, "Hey, listen, that's not cool. Like, are those boys going to get in trouble for their behavior because of what they were doing?" Well, we're not sure what all happened because, you know, again, retaliation. The girl said that, and another recess observer or whatever they do heard that. And then she got kicked out of school.
Dude.
For a zero tolerance hate policy that they have.
It's not hateful, though.
It's just observant. Yeah. Right. If I saw two dudes kissing, I'd be like, "That's gay." You know, like that doesn't mean I hate them. I just say, "Dude, that's gay. That's some gay stuff." Yeah.
Right.
You know,
did you pay attention to the tone? Come on. Like maybe it was celebratory.
Exactly. If I saw a dude at the archery range shooting a crossbow, I'd be like, "Dude, that's gay."
Yep.
That's not like hate speech. It just kind of is what it is. Right.
Yeah. Precisely.
Dude, right. I hope I don't lose. Like people are like, "Oh, wait a second. You can't do that. You can't do that, dude.
Man,
you can't say that."
Of all the horrible things and all the memes that are on the internet about crossbow hunters, I think poking a little fun on a podcast is
okay.
More than all right. Yeah, exactly. That's what people listen to these,
I can remember back in the day when I had one of my first bows. And it was an Oneida. Do you know what Oneidas looked like? They're just out of this world, different than a regular compound. And so the second bow I ever had was an Oneida. And my stepdad at the time was an Oneida certified repair person. So I had this Oneida, heavy as shit, just weird drawback. But anyway, I hunted with an Oneida. And shot an Oneida bow. And I can remember one of my buddies whose dad hunted and came over to my house and I was shooting this bow in my backyard. And he's like, "That bow looks gay, dude." And I was like, "Hey, wait a second. You can't say that." And then I remembered it was the early 90s. And I was like, "Okay, that's cool, dude. Take the jab. You move on." And later in the day, you find something to call your buddy gay about what he did.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I had a buddy who was like, "Dude, this Mariah Carey song is fire." And I'd be like, "Dude, that's a little gay, dude. You shouldn't be saying that." And that's okay, man. It's okay to say that to your friends, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, maybe it's toxically masculine these days, but back then it was just an accountability factor. You were just keeping each other in check.
Yeah.
And
I like that. It's accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard of
calling each other on your bullshit. Like,
exactly. You're full
just
of shit.
Using
dude.
A different word. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had one friend who, do you know the band Incubus?
Yeah.
You ever heard of the band Incubus? Okay.
Yeah.
So I had a buddy who was like hardcore Incubus band. And I love them. They're probably my top five band of all time. I love that band. And I agreed with him. Great band. But he got to a point when they got popular where he was telling everybody that he was a fan of them before they got popular. There's like, "Oh dude, I was a fan of them since the Science episode." No one knew what the Science album was. And so we're just like, "Dude, chill on Incubus. They're a great band, but they're not the best band of all time, dude. So just chill on Incubus. You got to hold them accountable." And if he ever heard this, he'd probably call me and then chew my ass out over the phone. I'm not joking. It's like, "How can you not? Dude, Incubus is the best band ever, dude." One of those guys. So
this many years later, you're still talking shit about the Science album, dude. I found it first. You have no idea. You're not a real fan.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you're so mainstream. You only like them because they're mainstream, dude. Come on, man.
Yeah, you don't know any deep tracks.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say on the note of getting sent to the office, the best and kind of tying in our first topic of the day here. One of my buddies, his younger brother, is a little bit of a rascal, to say the least. But dude, in middle school, they had
a rascal. Dude, I love that. Like, my buddy was a bit of a rascal. And you know that exactly what kind of kid. You could have used any other word to describe him and swear, but you just said rascal. Dude, that's the best.
What do you think? A bit of a rascal. He was. He is. He's got that look in his eye, that little shine.
Yep.
And so they were doing a thing in the middle school where basically you could nominate a fellow student for, I think it was like being the Viking of the week or something like that, or like the Viking spirit, whatever. And you were like, if somebody did something nice or did something good, you go to the office, you fill out a slip, you drop it in the thing. And then every week they draw it on Friday. And my buddy Colby decides to nominate and ends up winning Viking of the week for none other than Hugh Janus. And they read that over the announcements that morning, and he gets a big laugh. His buddies get a big laugh. And yeah, I don't know how the lady at the desk didn't like read it and go, okay, not real. I forget I work in a middle school. Like, should expect this stuff. But yeah, he got a good old fashioned in school suspension, I think, for that one.
Oh, it was classic. Dude, that's legit. Dude, there's so many stories of when I was like in seventh and eighth grade at middle school and being horrible to substitute teachers. Like, they were not initiated. They were not bathed in the blood of reality from how evil kids are back then. We had one substitute teacher. Well, we sat in those desks that they had the book carrier under the bottom and the armrest on one side, and it was all one piece, right? It wasn't a desk. It was all like a one piece individual desk. And we found out that if you lick your fingers and you rub the side of the book carrier, it starts to vibrate and hum. Crazy, right? And it just starts, right? Okay. So we did that. All these kids did that. Anytime the lights were on, we'd walk in. And dude, we did this across the entire day. Okay. So the first one came in and another guy I knew was in there. He's like, hey, dude, like, she thinks the lights, there's a problem with the lights. Okay. So get in there and go do it. And so I told everybody too. Right. And so there's a whole classroom of kids, like not the kids that were closer to her, obviously, but the kids that were in the back were doing that. And I believe I said, shut the lights off and see what happens. She shuts the lights off and everybody stops. Everybody stops doing it. And she's like, God, I go, man, it's kind of dark in here. Like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. It's distracting. The noise is distracting. Again, huge piece of shit when I was a kid, right? That's the kind of kid I was.
Hilarious guy, though.
Yeah. She calls in to the front office through the intercom and she's like, hey, just want to let you know there's a problem with the lights. Can you send maintenance down here? Maintenance comes into the class and turns the lights on and we all start doing it again. Shuts the lights off. We all stop. And he's like, Jesus, what is going on here? Even he's in it, right? Next door teacher, or he turns the lights on, we're all doing it. And another teacher from another room comes in and she's like, what's going on in here? She's like, and the substitute teacher, she's probably 20 years old, 25 years old, right? Goes, the lights are making this weird noise. And she goes, are they? Everybody, hands on the desk right now. She's walking through the room. Everybody's hands are on the desk and there's no noise anymore. She goes, problem solved. And then went back to her room. Right. And so the substitute teacher, her face got so red. She was so embarrassed. she was so pissed. Oh God, it was.
That's hysterical.
Hilarious.
Dude. Oh, yeah. It's the best.
Yeah. I had in eighth grade, we had a teacher and dude, she was old. She probably had 50 years of teaching in, no joke, mm-hmm. right? She probably started when she was 20 and she was in her 70s when she retired. She was nice, but very gullible.
Yep.
And there was this newspaper article of a guy who caught like a 55-inch muskie in Canada. And I cut it out of the newspaper. And I cut out a picture of my head and I taped it to that. Then I photocopied it and then I handed it to her. And I was like, hey, this past weekend, the guy's name was not even my name was not even in the article. It was mm-hmm. another guy's name. It even says his age, like Frank Thomas, 37, from Washikiwan, Minnesota or Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Caught this giant muskie, whatever. And I'm go, hey, here, look at this. I caught a huge muskie. She's like, oh my God, that's huge. My husband loves fishing. And she put it up on like this little board in our class of like all the good things that people do, like straight A tests, like yep. helping out, volunteering, and then a fake news article I made about this giant muskie that I fake caught.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. I was a rascal too, dude.
Dude, it's the best. Uh-huh. But like, those are stories that they were formative, you know, and they stuck with you. Yep. My best friend, we were in fourth grade. We had this teacher who just hated her guts.
Yeah.
Young teacher, probably, I think, first or second year teaching or whatever. My buddy Zach just like loved to push her buttons. And finally he gets up. We're in the middle of a test, dead silent room. He gets up, walks to the front. She's like, Zach, what do you need? And he goes, can I go drop the kids off at the pool? And says it like in a dead silent classroom, full volume. She goes, excuse me? And he goes, I got to take a dump. And just grabs the hall pass and walks out. Leaves the whole classroom just like, you know, like biting their lip, holding. Trying not to. Yeah. You're like beet red. You're like sweating. You're laughing so hard.
I think my favorite substitute teacher story was my senior year in high school. I had a public speaking class. Okay. And there was a substitute teacher. And one day, my buddy, at the time, well, a guy I knew, we hung out every once in a while. And I'll say his name because at the time, his dad was the governor of Iowa. Okay. Tom Vilsack. And he had a son who graduated in my grade from my high school, and we knew each other and whatever, but his dad was the governor of Iowa, right? So his dad was in Des Moines all the time, and he was finishing out high school and stuff like that. And that kid was gone one day, and a substitute teacher was in class, and I came into class. I said I was that kid. And I'm like, yep, I'm here. And so the teacher made everybody in the class do like a three-minute speech. Like, you can talk about whatever you want, but you have to stand in front and talk about it. And I made up this speech about, I went to an arcade and I played my video game, this one video game, and I was so like, it was like the greatest day of my life. It was my favorite video game. And I played for 45 minutes on one quarter. And I kept beating the game and kept beating the game. And finally, the owner of the arcade was so mad at me. They tried to get me to leave. And I was like, no way, man. This is illegal. You can't do that. I went on and just on and on and made up this awesome story. And he ended up getting 10 points extra credit for me telling this story. giving this speech. And the teacher was like, wow, that was very good, very informative. And I was like, nailed it. And then I got him, I think he even bought me like a pack of M&Ms or something like that afterwards,
because that's hysterical.
He got 10 extra credit points for it. Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
That's like the best case scenario right there. Like, that's so worth it. You pulled off the prank and also like get something in return. No harm to the other guy. In fact, it benefited him greatly. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a stand-up story right there.
And I really think that's who I am in a nutshell. Just, I'm all about helping other people, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of their situation.
For sure. Yeah. Could be the governor's son. Could be the guy dumping a Pringles can in the parking lot. It doesn't matter. We're here for the people.
Full circle. Full circle on that one. On that one. How about this? This is how we should end it. What is your favorite rut hunting tip that you want to give us to end the show off?
Ooh.
That way now we can call it rut hunting tips or something like that.
Dude, before we get to that, you know what the worst prank was that I've ever heard in my life? Okay. It's my buddy, best friend, Zach, the guy who dropped the kids off at the pool. Transferred schools when we were in middle school. We'd still hang out and everything. Apparently one of his buddies pooped in the soap dispenser of the middle school bathroom.
No way.
Wrap your head around that.
How did you do it?
Pooped on some toilet paper, picked it up, fed it into the machine. How horribly creative is that?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to envision what a soap dispenser looked like in 1992. And try to like... Because they came in these like bags.
Yeah.
Like ours did anyway. I don't think they had like things you could put up in there. Oh man. Imagine
I don't know that it dispensed, but yeah, dude. If it did, just purely on principle, is the best prank I've ever heard in my life.
Because I don't know about you, but when I go to wash my hands, I'm not looking at what's inside. I just push the button, get the soap, wash my hands, and go.
Yeah.
Imagine the person who ended up catching it. They're just having one of those days where they zone out for a second and they look at it and they're like, what is that?
Yep.
Oh my, is that a turd?
Couldn't be.
Oh my God, dude. Wow. I never even thought of stuff like that. All my little jokes and stuff were real harmless. Right. I didn't poop in anything. I didn't, I didn't destroy any property. Well, on accident one time. On accident, I did. That's a different story, but it was an accident. There was some leaky chemicals and it killed the grass in front of our high school on accident. On accident.
Hate to see it. Was it in like an odd shape or did it resemble a funny word?
No, it didn't. Nope. Oh. It didn't. It was just some chemicals from a vehicle accidentally leaked out. And because the car got turned upside down and in the grass. And yeah, so.
Well, really, I mean, that could have been just the weight of a vehicle flipped over on the grass more so than the chemicals. I mean, at that point, it's what do you do?
Yeah. Yep. Then they knew the owner of the vehicle because although I took off the license plates, I didn't take off the VIN number and it was pretty easy to find out whose vehicle it was. And the vice principal was irate and the regular principal was like, cool homecoming prank, dude. And
nice one.
I didn't even get in trouble for it. Crazy. I think I had to sit.
That's nuts.
I think I had to sit in detention for like 2 days. And that's it. And I was used to
that.
Well
worth it.
Yeah. So I was like, cool, dude. Cool.
Dude, so, I remember my dad telling me the story of like when they were in junior high or I think it was high school.
Uh-huh.
They would obviously like rural. He was from Eastern Iowa, rural farming community. His buddies took like 6 cows.
Oh, yeah.
Loaded them up, brought them in. Ran them up the stairs and got them stuck on the top floor because they can't go downstairs, you know?
Yeah.
And that like that level of prank just, I feel like is.
So they
you'd
did
be
that.
In jail for that, like these days, you know?
We had a very old school. So like it was built in the 1800s and my senior year was the last year of kids because the other one was built. So I was the last graduating class in that high school. Mm-hmm. And there was a girl and her friends who'd put a prank on where they let some, not cows or horses, but like small chickens and geese and I think maybe even a pig into the high school. So in one of the lower rooms, they left a window open. They unlocked a window. They opened it up. They went inside, basically broke into the high school in the mm-hmm. middle of the night, shut it. This was like a senior prank or a high school prank. And they didn't really think about all what was going to happen once the animals got inside and what the animals were going to do. But they got in, came out, unlocked the back door, pulled a trailer up because we had this like L-shaped high school and then mm-hmm. another building where all the trade school, like all the trade classes, like the shop kids would hang out and do their class. The Spanish classes were in this other additional building. And so you could pull in and no one would see you, right? And they unloaded all these animals into the school, took off. The janitors show up the next morning real early, and I guess there was shit everywhere. Like they had to do a late start that day mm-hmm. so the janitors could go pick up pig feces and bird feces that was all over this one hallway. And wait. I'm just like, dude, like that's a lot of damage, and that probably went a little too far maybe, but when I was mm-hmm. 18 years old and that happened, or 17, I was like, that's hilarious, dude. Yep. That's hilarious. And so but the janitors were real pissed that day, and I don't blame them.
Rightfully so, dude.
And rightfully so. You don't, maybe you got to clean a toilet that has some skid marks in it, or maybe some dumbass misses the urinal or the toilet and you got to clean around mm-hmm. it. But having to come in and pick up farm animals droppings all over the place, man, that would piss me off.
Especially pig crap, dude. Oh, I
so juicy.
Want smell yeah. that I can deal with. Dairy cows, any manure, whatever, doesn't yeah. matter to me. But like something about just the ripeness of pig crap is yep. horrifying.
Yep.
The worst.
Yep. But seniors 99. Freaking seniors.
Love it. Love it.
Well, to answer your question, I think my my rut tip is hunt like the non-primary wind. So like obviously like Midwest, we get that most of our cold fronts are like northwest oriented winds.
Yep.
Hunt like a south wind or an east wind or anything that's screwy, because I think the bucks are running on like, I think the predominant wind is like their A pattern. And mm-hmm. I think anything that's blown out of the south or the east or anything squirrely like that is like their yep. B and C pattern. At least for the rut, where they're trying to like monitor all these doe bedding areas. And I think you can catch them slipping up a lot easier than on their primary route.
Yeah. My tip would be find the doe group.
So serious.
Yeah, exactly. My tip would be find the doe groups and hunt the doe groups. Bingo.
Yes, sir.
Bingo. Two really good. Now we can officially say this is a very specific topic mm-hmm. Of that. I wonder how many people.
Problems here.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I love it. I love these types of episodes. Dude, I need them though. I need yep. these episodes, especially in the off season when people are just like at work listening to this or driving or they're in heavy equipment. By the way, dude, I don't know. I've never been a heavy equipment operator, but I was stopped at a stop sign the other day and I was watching a backhoe pull up concrete, turn around and dump it in a huge dump truck. And that's what he was doing that day. And I was like, you know what? That doesn't seem so bad to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've never done it but it looked, you know, like when you were a kid at the park, they had the
little sand diggers.
Yeah. And you dump it into the dump truck. Dude, that was fun.
You've been primed for it since day one.
Exactly.
That's, yeah.
Those guys, I tell you what, if you are a heavy equipment operator, I would love to have you on this show just to talk about your job and maybe some hunting stuff as well. But
yeah.
Dude, the dude in there, he's probably jamming to his favorite tunes, Maybe he had a little lunch bucket next to him, you know, maybe he's on, you know, but he was there sitting in there with the controllers and doing his thing out of the wind, out of the snow.
Yeah,
dude, I don't know what it's like, but I want to talk to someone who's a heavy equipment operator and what
he's probably listening to this podcast right now.
Exactly.
Chuckling so shout, to himself, hey, fuck you, yeah. Poor bastard.
Yeah, he's like, bullshit. This job sucks. I want to kill myself. So shout out to all the heavy equipment operators right there. You know what would also interest me is the guys, the heavy equipment operators who build fishing ponds, like in Iowa, or
yep,
guys are building dams.
Fisheries biologists, they're the dudes. Yeah. I've spoken oddly with like three of them in the last 2 weeks, and they're all full of a hell of a lot of great information and also some pretty damn good stories. So
hell yeah, dude. All right. I think this is where we end it, Pierce. I really appreciate your insight for November hunting.
I think we landed the plane nicely.
Exactly. Yeah, we landed it all right, but without wheels or wings, dude, just crashed it into the mountain. But I appreciate your time. If you guys are listening to this, Pierce is a avid fly fisherman, and he's knowledgeable about the waters of Eastern Iowa and Wisconsin. So reach out to him via the Wisconsin Sportsman Instagram page. Also, he has the Wisconsin Sportsman's podcast, which is on the Sportsman's Empire podcast network. Go check that out. If you live in north, you know, if Eastern Minnesota, Western, Western Wisconsin, Northeast Iowa, Northern Illinois, covers all that kind of stuff. So go check that out. Also, do me a favor and go leave a 5-star review wherever you download the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, and leave a comment. The Nine Finger Chronicles also has a YouTube channel now, so go subscribe to that. Good vibes, everybody. Thanks again, Pierce, and we'll talk to you guys next time.